May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. As we've mentioned, the church was a busy place this weekend between the youth retreat and February Faith Fest. At these festivities, our kids focused on love in advance of Valentine's Day, a day when we are inundated with red and pink, chocolates and cards. In the church, when we talk about love, which the kids reviewed for us, we mean agape love, love that looks like Christ's love. This is the kind of love that Paul writes about to the Corinthian church, that itself is struggling with discord, immorality, selfishness, and all the things that love is not. Though many of us had this passage read at our weddings, anybody have it read at their wedding? Yeah? Romantic love could not be further from Paul's mind in this letter. He is writing about what it means to love within a community of Christ followers. But Paul is not simply defining love for the Corinthians. That's normally where our minds go to when we think of this chapter, defining what love is. No, his broader point is that without love, all the other good things in this life are meaningless. Paul offers several examples. Here's one. If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We've all known people who could say what everybody wanted to hear, could win over a crowd, whether stadium size or boardroom size, but who have no sense of morality or regard for others. It's like a clang, right? The point is, no matter what our gifts are, they won't matter without love. And this is truly an incredible claim. It doesn't matter if you can sing or dance or throw or hit a ball, move a mountain, solve world hunger, clean up the planet, cure cancer. If love is not tethered to each of these gifts, according to Paul, it's nothing. Okay, so what is Christian love according to Paul? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable, it keeps no records of wrongs, it does not rejoice in wrongdoings but rejoices in the truth, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Each phrase is beautiful and truly cross-stitch worthy. But simultaneously wildly ambitious. Could any human being really love like this? Aside from Jesus, everyone will miss the mark of this standard. More realistically, we kind of accept that we will never in this life reach this kind of love. Yet we still commit ourselves to striving toward it as a goal, aspiring to grow, to love more and more like the love Paul describes. Now we know we can't depend on ourselves to grow toward this kind of love. We can't will ourselves to be better at this. It takes a heap of God's grace. But also it takes our own intentionality to override our more selfish impulses. One strategy that helps us on our quest to live this agape is covenant. Now, a covenant is an agreement made where every party acts under its own free will. There is no coercion in covenant. Probably the covenant we think of most, that's most common to us, is the covenant of marriage, right? We believe that people come freely into that covenant. Well, covenant is also the central concept of the United Church of Christ, offering us means to strive toward another ambitious goal, Jesus' prayer that they may all be one. Just as we will never love perfectly, as Paul describes, we also will never live into Jesus' prayer perfectly. Just take a look at the splintering of the universal church into give or take 1 trillion denominations, right? We haven't been so good at this oneness. But covenant gives us some scaffolding as we strive for both Christian unity and Christian love. In the United Church of Christ, we engage in covenant at every level. When we have confirmation or a new member Sunday, individuals covenant to unite with our congregation, promising their support and participation, and we promise back to them our support and fellowship as well. Bethlehem covenants to be in relationship with the Evansville Tri-State Association, the Indiana-Kentucky Conference, and the General Synod of the United Church of Christ. We make these covenants because love is hard. And we know that it's pretty easy to get crosswise, even with people you love, right? Love is work. Did you hear all those things in Paul's letter? And sometimes we just don't feel like it. But we do not walk away. We cannot walk away. Because even when we're not feeling it, we value the church. We value the relationship we have with one another. And most of all, we value the God who calls and equips the church to be about God's mission in the world. It's exactly when we're not feeling it that the covenants we make matter the most. They offer support in those harder times, reminding us, yes, of our commitments and our responsibilities, but also of the promises made to us by those with whom we are in covenant. Our covenantal relationships remind us that while we may not always agree, while sometimes we may get downright annoyed with one another or even angry, our togetherness is a priority worth continued pursuit. So Paul offered this beautiful vision for what Christian love looks like. But today, I've invited you to share some of your thoughts as well. What makes our Christian love so special and worth celebrating? Inspired by a book I read recently called Our Hidden Conversations, What Americans Really Think About Race and Identity, by former NPR host Michelle Norris, I've invited you to share what Christian love means to you in 6 words. I'll offer my 6 words as an example. To me, Christian love is saying yes whenever we reasonably can. In a moment, I will invite those of you who'd like to participate to come forward and speak at one of our microphones. Because each person will share just briefly, it probably is a good idea to kind of form a little bit of a line so we don't have too much of a lag of folks waiting to come forward. If coming forward is a challenge for you, Caleb is going to have a roaming microphone, so you're welcome to just flag him down and he'll come to you. And I also have several that have been submitted to me ahead of time to read, and I'll intersperse those as we go as well. Now, far be it for me to lecture anyone on brevity. But in this instance, I ask that you resist the urge to give any additional comment but your 6 words. Please speak especially slowly. Again, who am I to talk? But please try to speak slowly and clear. It's only 6 words and we don't want to miss them. So love is patient, love is kind, and love is... Come on forward if you'd like to share your 6 words. All right, Joyce has 6 words for us.
Unconditional, everlasting, faithful, never failing, always right, humbling.
Thank you. From some that have been submitted to me, remind me today, listen, discern, act. Give to receive, to give again.
Let God's love shine in you.
Table.
When you serve others.
Oh, I didn't see. Sorry, Steve, do that again. I'm sorry.
Love is when you serve others. love, no ifs, ands, or buts.
He loved us. We love others.
Praise the Lord, righteous and almighty.
Always include others, no matter what.
Anxious, then trust in our Creator.
Table of hope, open to all.
Look for every opportunity to encourage others.
Acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly.
Deliberate, natural, giving, no second thoughts.
Love is available for all to receive and give.
Rainbow, body, heart, worship, spread, koinonia.
7 and 5, feed us still.
God's, Jesus' love says it all.
Died for forgiveness, rose for hope. Caring when it is not expected. Continuing to love in uncomfortable situations. Treating others how you want treated. We're enough, precious in His eyes. Accepting forgiveness, releasing shame, embracing joy.
Everlasting, unbreakable, joyful, true, unconditional, and powerful.
Thank you. Above all else, share His love. A second chance, a life together.
Community, never ending, trust, always, everywhere, faith.
Loving my neighbor no matter what. Alex, do we have one there in the back? Nope. Hi, Autumn. Are there any others that anyone would like to share? In a bit, we'll invite you to put those in the offering plate, and we're going to make a display out of them. So if you were a little shy about reading your own, there's still an opportunity to participate, and we'll let you know where you can see that display. They're beautiful, varied, and assorted descriptions of Christian love. Each one of those could be a whole sermon in itself. Thank you to those who shared. Now, it is said that a child doesn't know what love is until someone tells her. If you are unkind to her, neglectful, or even abusive, and tell her it's love, she'll believe you. If you are tender, patient, and caring with her and tell her it's love, she'll believe you. It is a terrifying responsibility to guide and teach a child. I wonder if this same principle could be applied to the world. Whatever we tell the world is Christian love, they're going to believe us. Too often what the world receives from the church are harsh and even abusive words and actions. Too often the world observes the church abandoning covenant and splintering rather than leaning into our commitments to God and one another and prioritizing our relationships over getting our way or being right. And the church tells the world that this is Christian love? Just like children being taught by their parents, the world believes us. And they understandably think if that's what Christian love is, then no thanks. But what if the church were to speak, show, and model love like the words shared today? What if the church and all of its members truly lived by all we've covered with our six words? What would that tell the watching world about Christian love and covenant? What would that tell our watching children about Christian love and covenant? How would that remind us about Christian love and covenant? May each of our sets of six words stay with us as we continue our strive for agape, the love described by Paul and modeled by Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now I'd like to invite our acolytes and our ushers forward. In addition to collecting our tithes and offerings today, you're going to have the opportunity to put your heart in the offering plate, and we will use those for our Christian love display.